So I'm going to read from verses 24. The parable of the wheat. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. And went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the wheat also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Now I'm going to read from verse 36. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the Son of the Kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear."
Leanna, thank you very much for reading that for us. And maybe you'd like to follow along if you'd like to keep Matthew's Gospel open in front of you, page 979. I'm going to say a short prayer, and then we'll spend a few minutes looking at this famous story that Jesus told. So let's bow our heads, and I'll say a short prayer. Lord God, whether we're very new to all of these things or whether we've been followers of Jesus for a long time, we pray that you'd help us to listen to what you're saying to us now as we look at the Bible. Amen. Will God ever put the world right? That's the question that we're going to think about as we start this morning. Will God ever put the world right? And it's a good question to ask on Remembrance Sunday, isn't it? Today is the day when we look back to the two world wars and we look back to other conflicts. And it's the day that we remember those who gave their lives to protect our country. Today, more than most days, it's clear to us that this world needs to be put right. Elie Wiesel was a young Jewish man during the Second World War, and he was a prisoner in Auschwitz, which was a Nazi concentration camp, and he survived, and he later became a writer, and in fact he did very well, and he won a Nobel Prize, and he wrote about a moment when he saw people being executed in the prison camp. And he wrote this: the SS soldiers hanged two Jewish men and a youth in front of the whole camp. The men died quickly, but the death of the youth lasted half an hour. "Where is God? Where is he?" someone asked behind me. As the youth still hung in torment in the noose after a long time, I heard him call again, "Where is God?" And it's horrible, isn't it? If God is there, why doesn't he do something about things like that? Will God ever put the world right? Well, we're not at war at the moment, but we are aware of different ways in which our world needs to be put right. It's been this COP26 conference recently. We're hoping that there'll be progress in trying to take care of our world. We're aware of other ways in which the world needs putting right. We've been seeing in the news over the last few days, some of our leaders have been serving themselves rather than serving the country. Now, we know that there's plenty to enjoy in this world. There's lots of beauty. There's wonderful food. We've got friends and family. There's lots to enjoy in this world. But there's plenty that's wrong as well. And so we ask the question, will God ever put the world right? Well, Jesus said that one day God will. And it turns out that that's more wonderful and more challenging than we might think. And we're going to look now at one of Jesus' most famous stories. It was written down by a man called Matthew. Matthew was there on the day that Jesus told this story. He was a friend. He was an eyewitness of all that Jesus did and said. Let's look at the story together. If you'd like to follow along, it's there on page 979. Just have a look down at verse 24. Let's quickly have a look at this story and then think about what it means. Verse 24, Jesus told the crowds another parable, another story with a meaning. And he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." So this enemy is sneaky and he does it at night. And at first no one notices, but now there's wheat and weeds growing in the same field. People think that the weeds would have been a plant called darnel. Just have a look at this picture. Here's a picture. You can see that when wheat and this weed, darnel, grow up together, they look almost exactly the same. And you can only tell later that there's a difference when the grain starts to appear in the plants. And when that happens, the servants go to the owner and they say, "What's going on?" And the owner said, "An enemy has done this." And this is serious. This messes up the man's business. It would be today like sending a computer virus to a company or someone randomly putting poison in packets of food in Aldi or something like that. It's serious. And the owner says, "We're going to have to wait until harvest time. If we root up the weeds now, we're going to end up rooting up the wheat." And so verse 30 at the bottom, it says, "Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." So that's the story. What does it mean? Well, we don't have to guess because Jesus explains it to us. So let's listen to him now. And as we do that, I'm going to draw out two truths and then I want to ask you a question at the end. So here's the first truth up on screen. This world is a mix of good and evil. This world is a mix of good and evil. And perhaps you'd like to turn over to the next page and you can follow along as Jesus explains what this very famous story means. So Jesus' followers go to him and they ask him to explain. And verse 37, Jesus says, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man." And he's talking about himself. "The field is the world." So this is Jesus explaining how he sees the whole world. "And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom." So the good seed in the story stands for men and women who trust in Jesus, who are on God's side. Jesus carries on, middle of verse 38. He says, "The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." And Jesus is talking there about what the Bible calls the last day, the day of judgment to come in the future. So this is how Jesus views the world. And it's very supernatural, isn't it? There are two sides. You've got good, you've got evil, you've got God, you've got the devil. And we're all on one side or the other side, Jesus says. Now, as you hear that, you might think that's really old-fashioned. It's very religious. It might sound a bit bizarre. But you know that most people around the world wouldn't think that. Most people in the world are religious. Here in the UK, religion is becoming smaller and smaller. But in most of the world, it's growing and growing. For example, there are more Christians in China than there are in Europe. And even in our country, when people ignore religion, they often feel that they're missing something. When people lose a loved one, they usually speak about their loved one living on in some way. We naturally think in that kind of way. And Jesus says, yes, there is a world that we can't see. And our connection to that world is very, very important. Jesus says this world is a mix of good and evil. He's not saying that each person is entirely good or entirely evil, but Jesus is saying that there are two sides. And the key is which side we're on. We're either on God's side or we're against him. And you might say, well, hang on. I'm not on the devil's side. I know there are some evil people out there, war criminals, torturers, traffic wardens, people like that, but not me. I'm not on that side. But you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we do play a part in spoiling this world. None of us naturally is on God's side. I'll give you just a little example. There was a survey 3 years ago about driving. And you know that 90% of drivers say that they are careful and good at it. 90%. But in the same survey, over half of people admitted that they did actually speed in 20-mile-an-hour zones and speed in 30-mile-an-hour zones. That's interesting, isn't it? 90% of people say they're good, careful drivers, and yet most of us admit that we speed. It's not just driving, of course. We like to think that we're good, but when we're honest with ourselves, we do tell lies from time to time. We do lust. We are selfish at times. We hurt the people that we love. And most importantly, we don't worship God. We push him to one side. That's what the Bible calls sin. And Jesus uses shocking language in this story. But what he's saying is we're not naturally on God's side. A number of years ago, the Times newspaper wrote to a number of authors, people who write books, and they asked them a question. They said, "What do you think is wrong with the world today?" And one of the authors was a Christian. "What's wrong with the world today?" And he replied, "Dear sir, I am. Yours, G.K. Chesterton." He'd understood what Jesus means here. This world is a mix of good and evil. But there is hope. So here's our second truth this morning. One day, God will make a purely good world. That's the hope. One day God will make a purely good world. And let's read what Jesus says next. He says, "The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." And then verse 40, he says, "As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They'll throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Jesus is saying here that sin is the problem. The problem is we're not on God's side. We push him out of the picture. And if we want a world that's good, a purely good world, then sin needs to be dealt with. It needs to be removed. But the problem is that sin is inside me, and sin is inside you. And so if there's to be a purely good world, you and I can't be there unless somehow sin can be dealt with or sin can be cured. Sin is the problem. And Jesus here uses shocking language to talk about sin being punished. A lot of people won't like Jesus saying this. But let me try and turn the whole thing around. Let me ask a question. Would you really want a God who doesn't care about evil? Would you really want to live in a universe where God doesn't care about evil? Think about that story that I mentioned right at the beginning from the Second World War. Think about that concentration camp and the young man being hanged and the man in the crowd crying out, "Where is God?" My wife Amy was talking with a friend a few weeks ago. Her friend works night shifts, stacking shelves in a supermarket nearby, and she likes the job, it's fine. But the thing that she finds hard about the job is her supervisor, because her supervisor just doesn't care. So she might work really hard over her shift, her colleague might really slack off, but as long as the work's done, her supervisor doesn't care. And she likes the job, but she finds that difficult. Because you want your supervisor to notice, don't you? You want your supervisor to care. And if we feel that way about a supervisor at work, we should feel that all the more about God. But if God cares about evil, then he has to care about my evil. And this is a loving warning from Jesus. If we ignore God, things will go badly for us. God doesn't want to punish people. God wants to give us a perfect world, a world that is purely good. But to get there, we have to have our sin taken away. Our sin has to be dealt with. And you know, wonderfully, that's exactly why Jesus came. Jesus was born into this world to be our rescuer. And when he died on the cross, he took the punishments for the sins of all of his people. And God raised him from the dead. And now if anyone turns to him and trusts in him and makes him their king, they can be forgiven, they can have a new friendship with God, and they can have a part in this wonderful new world, this perfectly good world that God will bring. Jesus gives us the chance to swap sides. We can change from being against God to being on his side. We can change from being weeds to being wheat. Jesus offers us a purely good world. Verse 43, Jesus says some wonderful words. He says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." He's talking about life after we die in God's kingdom. This is the world that we all long for. That language of shining, it speaks of power, it speaks of health, it speaks of beauty. Just imagine for a moment, a world where no one told lies. Or imagine a world where you are valued, where you're loved, where you're important. That is the purely good world that Jesus offers. We try and make that world in this world. We think, if I just had a bit more money, or if I had a slightly better job, or if I had a slightly better relationship. But in fact, only God can bring in that perfect world. And he offers it to us if we turn to Jesus. The joke is told of a Christian at work, and his boss goes to this Christian, and he asks him, "Could you please work this Sunday?" And the Christian says, "Oh, no, I can't, I'm afraid." And the boss says, "Okay, if you work this Sunday, we'll pay you double. We'll give you twice what you usually earn if you work on this Sunday." And the Christian says, I'm really sorry, I can't. I go to church on Sunday, so sorry, I can't do it. And the boss says, oh, come on. What do you get paid for being a Christian? We're going to pay you double if you work this Sunday. What do you get paid for going to church? And the Christian says, well, fair enough. I don't really get paid for going to church. But the retirement benefit is out of this world. Jesus says that one day, God is going to put this world right. And he's going to make the world that we're all longing for. And he offers it to anyone who trusts in Jesus. And so as we finish, let me ask a question. And here it is up on screen. Will you be there? Will you be there? Because did you notice how Jesus finishes? Have a look down again, verse 43. Jesus says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then he says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation to listen, and it's an invitation to act. Weeds can become wheat, Jesus is saying. He's saying, will you trust me? Will you turn to me? Will you swap sides? Will you be there in my perfect world? A number of decades ago, in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, there was a Cold War between Russia and between the West, between the UK and America and other countries like that. And spies were very important during the Cold War. And there was one Russian spy who realized that he was on the wrong side. His name was Gordievsky. And he saw that in the UK there was far more freedom than there was in Russia. He saw that in the UK there was music and there was art, whereas in Russia there was much less freedom, and it was quite cruel in Russia. And so this man decided to swap sides. And he started secretly working for the West, even though he was a Russian spy. And he did massive good, and he managed to save lots of lives. It was very risky for him. And in fact, in the end, he had to escape for his life. He had to be packed away in the boot of a car and driven over the border. But he was then honored for all that he'd done. And here's a picture of him. This is Gordievsky. This is him meeting the American presidents, Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan's thanking him for all that he's done. And here's another picture of him being honored by the Queen. And the Queen is giving him special reward for all that he'd done for the country. And Jesus calls us to change sides. It'll be costly for us. It's costly to live with him as the king, instead of living with ourselves as the king. But Jesus offers us forgiveness. He offers us a new relationship with God as our Father. And he offers us life in a perfect world to come. We won't just have the honor of meeting the president or the queen. We'll have the joy of knowing that God is our Father and he loves us. So as we finish, let me ask you, will you be there? Will you be there in this perfect world that God offers? Some of us here trust the Lord Jesus already. We've already swapped sides. And if that's you this morning, then be encouraged. Be encouraged that you belong to Jesus and that you will be with him forever in this purely good world. Be encouraged this morning. Some of us today aren't sure yet. Now, can I ask you, what if Jesus' words are true? What if his offer is real? If that's true, then you have a lot to lose and a lot to gain. I wonder if you'd be willing to come back and hear more. Jesus offers a place in his perfectly good world. Will you come back and hear more? Will you ask your questions? Will you think more? I do hope you will. Jesus says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He says, whoever has ears, let them hear.